Hello and welcome back to the Irish Tennis Updates podcast. My name's Adam, your host. This episode, I have been chatting to Céline Simoniou. Céline is Ireland's top female tennis player. She's recently moved into the top 1,000 in the world after some strong performances on the ITF tour so far this year. We chat all about Céline's tennis journey so far, including moving to Barcelona, where she now lives and trains, her experiences with Billie Jean King Cup so far, and a lot more. I hope you enjoy this episode. And without further ado, here is Céline.
All right. Well, Céline, thanks very much for joining the show. How are things with you?
I'm good, thank you. Very good. How are you?
All good. Really good. Listen, first question before we get into the tennis is, if you could have one superpower, what would you choose and why?
I would choose the superpower of knowing any language.
Okay.
I think it's because I travel a lot and I'll be playing a match and you hear from the other end of a court a coach screaming at their player in Russian, German, Italian. Yeah. It's kind of interesting to know what they're saying.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, because of that, I would like to know every language.
That's a very interesting one. What languages do you speak?
I speak Spanish, a little bit of French, English, and Shona, my mother's tongue.
Okay. That's pretty good already. You've got doing well with it.
But non-Irish people, I say I speak Gaelic. So yeah. Just to make it a nice number of five, you know.
Five, yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so listen, we'll kind of get into it a little bit. So firstly, just what are you up to at the moment? I know you're training. So just maybe tell me a little bit about your training setup and kind of in between tournaments and how it looks for you.
So right now I'm in the process of changing rackets. Because okay. Usually I do it in the preseason, but in the preseason, our main target was to improve fitness so that when I go back out in the season, I'd be able to compete at a higher level. So now I am in the middle of trying to change rackets, and that's a nice process. And I'm also having a mini preseason because the summer tournaments are a lot larger and more important. Obviously, going into the summer, more people are competing, there's more tournaments.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it is. Very important that I'm physically fit enough to go out for 3-4 weeks and be able to know that I can put my highest level out on tour.
Good stuff. I'm interested in the racket. Well, what racket did you have before and do you know what you're switching to?
Well, right now I'm use the Babolat Pure Drive. And I really love that racket a lot. But I've seen that I haven't tried many other racket brands. And I don't want to just limit myself to one racket. So we've just decided that let me try 4 or 5 different rackets, see how they feel. And if not, I always have the Pure Drive. I'm very happy with that racket.
Okay.
So it's just a thing to try and make sure there's no other racket out there that I need.
Okay. Any luck so far with any other rackets you've tried?
Well, I've tried the Wilson Blade, the Wilson... Oh, what's the blue one called?
Ultra.
I've tried the Head Boom, I've tried the Arrow, and I've tried the E-Zone and V-Core, so the Onyx E-Zone and V-Core. Okay. So I've tried quite a few rackets there. Yeah,
amazing. Well, hopefully you find the perfect one in the next few days.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So how long until your next tournament and stuff like
I'm
that?
I'm thinking of heading out next week to maybe Monastir 15Ks.
Okay.
I'm going to try and stick to the 15K tour until I have improved my ranking a little bit to start going out to the 25s, 40s, 60s, etc. Yeah,
good stuff. Yeah, so just maybe to look back the last few months, I know you've started to play more of the tournaments and had a lot more wins. So how have the few months been for you playing a lot of matches?
I think it's been good. There's been a lot of ups and downs, but I can only say positive things about them. I know at the start of the year, I went out to India. It was a different experience. It was a bit difficult for me out there, I'm not going to lie. They played very well. And it was something new for me to try. But it gave me a lot of confidence because I could see that the things that I was working on were working. It was just a matter of time to develop them.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a lot of confidence in my coaches and those things are now starting to work. I'm starting to see the jigsaw make an image.
Yeah.
And then obviously I did the weeks in Antalya And I think I got to the first quarters of the year. And there I could feel that all the things that me and my coaches have been working on were, like, as I said, connecting the dots.
Yeah,
and it
yeah,
gave
yeah.
me a lot of confidence, especially going into the Billie Jean, which was
Yeah.
my next tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, going to the Billie Jean, it was different mentally, knowing that we were the underdogs. But it was also something that I felt like I wasn't as scared to go into it, knowing that with my coaches, what we'd spoke about, what we've worked on, it wasn't as scary going into it. And yeah, that was really, like, it was a real, that Billie Jean really, like, instilled, I don't know how to say it, like, it made me feel more confident than ever that I can actually maybe go far or further than people expected or I expected myself to go. I could take steps into the professional career. It gave me, I know it was tough losing, but those losses against such top players made me, I don't know how to describe it, like, feel like, yeah, I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
And I think also that's maybe why I did better when, okay, the first week I went to Antalya, okay, that we don't have to talk about, but in the second week and the third week, it felt like I had a different type of confidence. And it was because of those weeks and the things that my coaches have been putting into my basket of skills, I'd say. So
Yeah.
That's how it's been going, I guess.
No, brilliant, brilliant. So we'll come back to talk more about maybe definitely the Billie Jean King Cup, but maybe just to take a step back a little bit, how did kind of you get into tennis at first, and what was your kind of, it was in the family, or how did that all start for you?
Well, my parents always believed that as kids we should try many different things. So I started tennis when people would say considerably late.
Okay.
I started around the age of 9-ish.
Okay.
And we used to go to Herbert Park a lot. And I don't know if you know, they have tennis courts at the back. And I was like, to my mom, she used to love watching Serena. Like, there's videos of her watching the Wimbledon finals. And we're just sitting in the back just watching, but we never played. And then I said to my mom, I think maybe I'd like to play tennis. She was like, okay. So she was like, let's go to Parks Tennis. And from there, really, I started to develop the interest and started to like playing tennis a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah. How quickly did that then get to a stage of you being, you know, really competitive and starting to travel a bit for tournaments and all that? How quickly did all that get serious for you?
I think started to get, well, at the start, I didn't know that it was like you have to do all the steps. Like, you need to play juniors, then you need to play ITF. Then you,
Yeah,
I just thought,
yeah.
Like, you become the number one in Ireland. Then next thing, you just, like, I don't know, teleported. Like, that's just my 9-year-old brain thinking.
Yeah.
They just teleport to pros, and next thing you're on TV. So
yeah.
I didn't know that. when I think it was when I was around 10, 9 and a half, 10. And one of the coaches in the Parks Tennis told me that, I think it was Anita, she works in Donnybrook. She told me that I should probably join a club because I have a great level and we can work out from there how serious I want to take tennis. So Owen Casey was a big person to make me take tennis seriously. I moved there with him and he said, okay, yeah, you're ready to compete. And yeah, I say around the age of 10, I started competing seriously.
Okay, no, good stuff. And I know then a couple of years after that, you moved and you kind of were set up in Barcelona playing there. So tell me a little bit about that move and how hard that was to adjust and how those next couple of years were for you based out of there.
Yeah, well, I've always been told that I kind of have a boy Spanish type of game. And
Yeah.
coming from Ireland and where the tennis is a bit different to that, I was like, that doesn't make sense. So when I moved to Spain, it was a really nice transition because I moved to an academy called Bruguera, and they really instilled on the Spanish mythology. And they were teaching me, my coach, who's also my coach now, I left him for a period of time, but my coach, Alberto Lopez, he helped me to grow my game into transition from a half Irish, half Spanish game into
Yeah,
a
yeah.
more Spanish suited game, playing heavier with spin.
Yeah.
And so I'd say the transition was pretty smooth. It was nice because I had a team around me that saw my potential, you could say, and decided to learn, teach me how to grow it, you know?
Yeah. So how important do you think that was? Like, do you think you'd be kind of where you are now if you'd stayed based in Ireland?
I think it was important. I mean, I did do a 2 year 2 years in the UK
Okay.
before I moved to Barcelona. And in the UK, it's very also team tennis based. They have a different system. So I was lucky enough that when I got there, I made a few waves that I was able to get into like national trainings and stuff. So that transition from the UK to Barcelona was pretty important because I started to figure out who I am, my identity on the tennis court.
And based in Barcelona, like what was maybe one of the biggest differences that you'd noticed there from where you'd been before, and maybe in terms of maybe intensity of training or
I was about to say they
the
have no Martin
attitude.
Spencer,
Oh,
but
okay.
like that's
That's
a
one.
big difference. Like I
You
needed my Caesar salad wrap. Like I needed that, but
have to get the basics down before you can start to think about the tennis.
yeah. So like yeah, they didn't have the Tescos or the Martin Spencer or the tea. It's not the same. But in terms of tennis, yeah, the intensity is a lot different. The drills are a lot more different. I felt like here it was more about consistency. Whereas in the UK and Ireland, I did more of hitting. Like people generally say I am a powerful player, so it was more about hitting fast. But in Spain, here they've taught me to be more consistent and the values of putting the ball into the court, and especially playing on clay, because the surface is more slow. With that, you're able to adapt and able to clean up the technique and be more like the main thing is to be more consistent, really.
No, good stuff. Good stuff. And just to maybe move on a little bit, when you start playing more of the ITF, so the under 18 junior events, I know you got up to top 100 in those rankings by the time you finished. So how did you find competing in those tournaments? I guess that would have been pretty different to what you were used to.
Yeah, I think playing juniors is a really great foundation because you start to learn how to travel every week. Playing as you go up, the players are kind of the same, but playing different players, I mean, it's going to be the same. If you go up in WTA, you meet the same players. So it's kind of the same thing. It's the same thing, just juniors and pros. One is earning money, one is not. That's really the difference. And so, yeah, I think it was a really important step in my career, especially confidence-wise. Just having that feeling of being in the top 100, I know, like, okay, was at the bottom of the top 100, but it's still an accomplishment for me.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and it made me feel proud. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm Irish and I'm top 100. You don't see many people. It just made you feel prouder to be an Irish player in the top 100 because not many people are there. And it made it feel even more special. If I don't know if you understand where I'm coming
No,
from.
absolutely. No, it's a brilliant achievement, top 100 there. And tell me, do you have a best memory or best kind of achievement from that you'd look back on from those junior tournament days?
I mean, obviously, the main achievement that would be great was that I got into the Grand Slams. I was meant to play Australia, but I got COVID, which is
Okay.
unfortunate.
Damn. Yeah.
And I would have been in main draw, but opportunities come and
Tough.
go. It's the way of life. But yeah, playing in Wimbledon, it was just a different feeling being around players that all want the same goal. It was like a great feeling, a great atmosphere. Obviously, a bit more nervous, but it was probably one of my greatest junior achievements there.
Absolutely. And well, what do you think maybe was the biggest thing that you learned, the biggest lesson you had from those years?
And the biggest lesson I learned is probably that to trust the process, because I'm the type of person that likes if I want something, I want to get it like right now. But with the juniors, it's like you go out, you go to a country. You can go for 4 weeks and you just lose 4 straight weeks in a row. And then you play 4 weeks in a different country and you see you're getting finals, you're winning, you're semis. So it was just trust the process and never for 1 second doubt my game because as soon as you start doubting, things can mess up a little bit. So yeah, that was my lesson.
No, good stuff. Good stuff. And maybe just to as you then transition to start playing more futures events and onto the pro side, how was that transition? How easy? How or what big challenges were there?
I think the transition was neither hard or easy. I think it was more so the mental side is whether I was ready. Like most people say, it's whether you're ready or not to play futures. because some people look at it and they'll be like, oh my God, it's futures. And other people will look at it and be like, it's just another stepping stone I need to get to the top.
Yeah.
So I was kind of in the middle of it at the start, especially. I was like, oh my God, it's futures. And no, this is where I need to be to, as a stepping stone, it's a place that I want to be so I can make sure I get to the top. So in that type of sense, I was ready. I'm like, now I can say I'm kind of ready. I was ready to start playing futures, and I'd kind of mentally prepared myself to play futures, especially playing juniors at the high one, the highest level. I felt like I was ready to play futures.
No, a big, I guess a big milestone for anyone when they start playing futures is getting that the first ranking point on the board with, you know, your first main draw win. Do you remember that day, maybe your nerves and how you felt with your first win?
Yeah, it's actually because I'd already won team main draw matches, so you need 3 points to get the ranking show up. And I was in Cairo. I had just qualified, and I was going to play this girl that in juniors previously 2 years before, I played her 2 weeks in a row, and I had lost like 7-6, 7-6, 7-5, 7-5. Those were the scores.
Okay.
And so I already knew it was like some sort of emotional battle, but I was like, I remember coming off the court after playing her those times 2 years ago, I was like, I could have won. And I didn't want to come off that court that day and saying, oh, I could have won that match.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I was like, I have to put everything. This is your moment, you know. Don't just do it for yourself. Like, especially when I try to motivate myself, I try not to say, don't do it just for yourself. Do it for your coaches, your family, your country, everyone. Like, I was just like, just do that. And I think it was a pretty solid. I think I won 6-2, 6-3, or 6-3, 6-2. Yeah, that was, and I think I broke my voice celebrating. I celebrated a few times, but I remember my voice broke after I won that match. So yeah, it was a nice moment for me.
Definitely. And so then I know maybe from that time till now, maybe it took a while until you started to get really getting a, you know, like a lot of wins, which now you're getting a lot more wins, ranking up to the top 1,000, which is amazing. So how I know you've reached some semis and futures. So like, how have you started to kind of build that success and kind of, you know, get to a higher ranking, obviously now?
I think the way that I've, I don't know how to say, built, the way I've built up to this moment, I would say it's mainly just people off court, because on court, well, off court and off court, as in my coach, on court, I tend to be very, I like to be in my own space. And sometimes when I get in that space, I get comfortable. But my coaches and my parents, they've really pushed me to get out of that comfort bubble.
Yeah.
So I don't think if they hadn't pushed me to get out of that comfort bubble, I would have been where I am now. And I wouldn't be where I should hopefully be going. So it's mainly the people that I've like been surrounded by that have helped me get the results that I've been getting recently.
No, absolutely. Are there any changes you've had to your team or kind of people around you, or has that been constant over the last few years?
So the changes I made were last year before Wimbledon. I had a coach when I first moved to Barcelona. His name was Alberto Lopez. I think I mentioned him before in the video. Mm-hmm. And we stopped working together. We were looking over what were the next type of people we wanted to work with. And Alberto's name popped up. I remembered I liked working with him and I improved a lot. So we started working with him. And he works with a fitness coach who specializes in track and field. He trained Olympic Canadian track and field people.
Okay.
I don't know, athletes, not people.
Yeah.
And he then transitioned to focusing on tennis players. Both have worked with Garbiñe Muguruza and Aslan Karatsev, and more players, but that would take a whole video to say that. So I started working with them, and they've just put a really positive vibe into my life. And I think without them, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know.
Okay. Brilliant.
Just
yeah.
A good team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm interested in the futures world of how you see doubles and the role of doubles in those tournaments, because I know that you've played quite a bit of doubles and you've had, I guess, so far a bit more success in doubles, and I think you've won some doubles titles. probably before you were having as much success in the singles. So how do you see that, the role of doubles, and maybe giving you confidence, or do you think, is that something you're going to keep playing lots of doubles, or how does
I
that fit
think
in for you?
for me, no matter what, I will always like to play doubles and singles. I don't think one is more important than the other. It's competing. It's the feeling of winning. If I'm winning in doubles, I'm happy. If I'm winning in singles, I'm happy. Both of them make me feel so good. So doubles, I will play it until, I don't know, until I can't. It's just, like as you said, I got more titles in so far in doubles, but I guess it was because in juniors last year I really did well in doubles, and I think I carried that confidence through that. But yeah, I usually use doubles as a way to prove to myself that I should not be afraid of the people that I'm playing in singles, because it's cross court, and on the cross it's like whoever misses first or who's more powerful, and I see that I'm able to keep up with them, so I'm like, okay, look, I can do it there.
You can
so
do
why
it,
can't I do it on a singles court? So I will always and forever play doubles in singles.
Brilliant.
It's in my heart.
No, great, great stuff. And so I guess, you know, looking back over the last little while, what do you think is your biggest achievement that you're most proud of so far?
I don't know. I'd say if someone looked at my career, they'd say I've achieved many things. Well, many things. But I don't think I have one achievement that I'm very proud of, because every moment I step on court and I do something that I've been working on, I'm proud of that moment. So for now, I'm just proud that I'm still going out on court and fighting every day, because it's difficult to go out every week, you know, win some, lose some, travel for hours, go back and do the same process. So I think just the achievement of just going onto court and making sure I perform every day, that for me is just a big achievement for me in my books anyway.
No, good stuff. Good stuff. And just then, in terms of looking to the future, what kind of, do you have specific goals that you've set yourself kind of with your team, or is it more kind of just take it as it comes, or like how are you looking ahead to the next few months?
Well, the next few months I'm going to be trying playing some 15Ks, hopefully getting a few titles under my belt.
Yeah.
To get those, just to, my coach says them in their stages, 15s, you complete that stage, 25s, complete that stage, 40s. And I think it's a good way to look at it, instead of jumping and trying to just grab points wherever you can. So for me, I think that is the main goal, to try and transition out of the 15K stage as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And in terms of ranking, obviously, I'd want to be 300 by the end of the year, but you have to take into consideration some tournaments are going to go well. Maybe if I transition to the 25s, I won't do as well at the start. Or maybe I'd do perfectly perfect and have a good 10 tournaments. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I skip the 40s and I go to the 60s.
Yeah.
So my dream obviously is to be 300. But my coaches and I are starting to say, okay, for now, let's try and get to 600. If we can get to 600, then we talk again. So it's just like steps, I guess.
Yeah.
Just getting one ranking up more each time is where my goals are right now.
Yeah. Yeah. To kind of break it down into smaller pieces, piece by piece.
Yeah. And to not, like, obviously looking at the ranking is nice, but my coach says, he always says that if we can train to improve the level instead of to improve the ranking, the ranking will come. So that is my main goal, to train to improve the level so that the ranking will just come with it, you know, and eventually.
Yeah, exactly. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And just to move on maybe somewhere else is, I know you mentioned it earlier a few minutes ago, just on the Billie Jean King Cup. So, you know, your chance to represent Ireland, which you've had a few times now, I know. How much of a goal was that for you as you grew up, kind of something to look ahead to and aim for?
I mean, for me, whenever I saw someone representing Ireland, whether it be swimming, running, skiing, I don't know, singing, I got so jealous. I was like, I want to do that. Like, that was like, so for me, that was like a really big thing. Even my dad, He talked about, oh, like, for me, my biggest dream would be for you to represent your country. And I remember the first time, I think we applied to do the Billie Jean. And the first time when I got the email saying, oh, you've made the team. I don't know, like that feeling was like, oh, I'm dad, like I'm representing my country. And now I was like, yeah, now people are going to be like, look, she's representing the country. That made me feel really, really, that was a good feeling. Yeah, I think it's just representing your country. I know that every time you go out playing ITF, the flag is next to your name. When they say from Ireland, that like Celine, someone new from Ireland's on the left side of the chair, that makes you feel good, just them saying it. So to be able to represent your country in a team environment that I'm not really used to was very, very, very good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And how, I know, is it 3 times that you've played Billie
Jean?
Yeah,
this year was
now?
My third year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, I guess, how that's moved on. And maybe it's not so much about the excitement of just playing and maybe you've started to aim higher or whatever it is. But how have the actual experiences playing for Ireland been?
So the first year I went, I was very ambitious. I wanted to, I was like, let's get promoted right now. That's what I was like. I was like, yeah, let's get promoted. And I think I brought that energy. Also, it's because I was the youngest on the team. I had like that, yeah, let's get promoted, guys. That type of energy. And then last year, it wasn't my first time, so I felt a bit more comfortable on the team. I knew who the girls were. Like, it was more comfortable. I knew John because John had been in constant contact with me through the year, helping me and asking about my development. So I was a lot more comfortable and a lot less crazy, you could say. And that year I really wanted to get for it, especially we're on clay and it's a surface that in Spain is very popular. So I was like, we can do this, we can fight for it. And we did really well, actually. Just had some tough matches. I also feel like if you probably ask the girls there, that whenever I was in those stages, it's like you're playing, because you're playing for your country, there's like a different weight on your shoulders. And in those matches that were important, I felt like, yeah, like this is where you need to show up. But then I played someone 300 and I was like, okay, I tried my best, but like, you feel a bit disappointed in that sense. And then this year, obviously the shock of being promoted to group two.
Yeah.
That was also a different experience because you saw some big names like Zachary, Conteveit, and players that were inside 300 WTA. It was a different, I felt less pressure than I did when I played the first 2 years because I was like, okay, that is, we're the underdogs in this, so we don't have any pressure. We just go out there, swing our rackets, and whatever comes, comes. What doesn't come. But I was fighting more to stay in the group this year and then try and get promoted the year after because we have the confidence of being in the group. And it didn't work out, but I think next time,
time
we'll be ready.
And tell me, just from your point of view then, those matches, I guess it's a chance to play, as you said, you know, like higher ranked players than probably you would do on the week to week basis. How much do you think you were able to take from those matches?
I think I learned about myself a lot in these matches. I learned how hard I can push myself because people in the top 300, they don't make mistakes. Every single ball they hit is with intention and they meant for it to go to that corner.
Yeah.
And they have the high serve percentage. They're used to playing. They know how to intimidate people. And I learned that I was not afraid. Maybe a year or two ago, I would have been like, oh. But I learned that I was not afraid. And I was like, okay, if this is what we're going to do now, we better do it now. You know, like, this is not the time to be intimidated. I learned that about myself, that I was able to stand up and fight and box my way through some points, sometimes more difficult than others. But I think that's, I learned a lot about myself in that.
Yeah. And then just to bring it back then to the, obviously it's a team environment, which is not the normal for playing on tour. How did you find the playing in a team and like each, I guess you have it once a year now. How do you enjoy the team tennis?
I think it's nice because obviously the girls that are there, they're very supportive. They've been through the college system, so they're teaching me how to be more of a, like a, well, especially the last 2 years, how to be more of a team player. But now we have our chance, and we get to scream together, cry together, laugh together. So that was a nice thing. And also just having coaches like Paul Casey and John there, they also made us like, connected us like a family. It was more of a family setting than a team, I could say. When one person was feeling down, we were able to pick each other up. And also having Lisa and Aoife was our physio there, they were able, like, just having those people around us made the team environment less team and more family, which I think helped me settle also in a different way.
Brilliant. So just the next question there, Celine. I'd love to hear a bit of maybe the advice you'd have for younger juniors. A lot of people that I've spoken to have gone through the college route, and can you mention that with some of those teammates you've had in Billie Jean King Cup? So I'd love to hear your kind of perspective as someone, you know, who didn't do that route. What kind of advice might you give to younger players who are open to take their tennis a bit further?
The first thing I'd say trust your gut, because it's very easy to do what your peers are doing. And I know at some point, probably when I was 15, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to college. But my gut was telling me it's not the right decision to make. So just trusting your gut. If you feel and you believe that you can make it, then go for it. Because belief is almost half of it. You don't need to have any special talent. You don't need to have anything special. Just believing that you can do it can go a long way. So it'd be to trust your gut and obviously to enjoy. I'd hope that if you choose to stay and work, obviously sometimes the working, I'm going to be honest, sometimes you go there and you go to training, you're like, ugh, and I'm going to have to run for hours and lift weights and, you know, do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I enjoy it. So it's to trust your gut and enjoy. And also trust the person. Main things I would say.
How do you think, do you manage to keep that enjoyment? You mentioned it can obviously at times get a little bit more of a slog, but is there something you do that helps you really keep kind of the perspective and keep enjoying the journey?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is really. When I did other sports, I just knew that like, oh, I can't do this for a long time. But there's something with like inside me that I love so much about tennis that I can't just let it go. When I hear an umpire say game, set, match, no matter who it is, it could be orange ball, it could be 90-year-olds, anyone just says game, set, match, I get shivers because I love that, just that feeling. And I think just playing for that feeling is just pure enjoyment. And then obviously on top of that, it's the competing. Even if I lose 6-0, 6-0 tomorrow, I'd be happy because I enjoyed the match. Okay, I didn't bet. But like, I enjoyed just competing and trying to fight to get one game or 2 points. Like for me, it's like, I think that's how I keep myself enjoying it. Like just searching for that feeling of goosebumps. And I think that's how I don't know how to describe it.
That's really good. So just a few questions to finish up with, Celine, a little bit of a kind of some quick fire questions. So I'll throw a few questions at you and you can just give your first answer that comes to your mind.
Okay.
So first one is, who's your favorite player?
Serena Williams. Well, that's X, and Carlos Alcaraz.
Okay. Favorite Grand Slam?
Wimbledon.
Favorite surface?
Grass.
Okay. Forehand or backhand?
Forehand.
Serve or return?
Both.
Both. Okay, fine. Ground stroke or volley?
Volley.
Okay. Federer, Nadal, Djokovic.
I'm not going to answer that.
Okay, fair enough. You'll give a no comment.
Yeah, no comment.
Fair enough. Serena, Venus. I know you said Serena.
Yes, Serena and Venus. Both of them are strong tennis players. Strong history, so both of them.
Brilliant. And just finally, what is your favorite thing about tennis?
My favorite thing about tennis is, I don't know, I see the battles, you know? I just like a good battle. Even though it's like sucks when you're like 40 love down or you start cramping and it's 5-5, you can't register. But it's just that feeling of a battle like that, like fight or flight. I like that. I like that idea of that this person in front of you could be the best tennis player in the world, but when you step on court, it's 0-0. You know, you don't have anything. It's that battle, knowing that no matter what, you have to put everything. Yeah, I like the battles. I like that.
Brilliant. I think that kind of answer is, it would be similar to what a lot of people would say about, you know, just the competing, the you know, just this, there's nothing like being in a tennis match and being on court. So that's definitely that's a good answer.
Thank you. Good stuff.
Well, listen, Celine, I think that's about it there. But I just want to say a big thanks for coming on and having the chat. I've really enjoyed talking to you, getting to know your story a little bit more. Just absolutely wish you all the best over the summer for your tournaments and the rest of the year. But just a big thanks for talking.
Thank you for having me and for the constant support. I see your messages on Twitter and it actually gives me a lot of pride and energy and motivation. So thank you.
Well, listen, glad to hear that. I'll keep doing this, and you can keep doing your thing as well. But appreciate the time again. So just thanks very much.
Big thanks once again to Celine for her time with this episode. I know she has a lot going on at the moment, training for the summer tournament. So I really appreciate the time. Thank you also for listening to this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Please do consider sharing the episode if you thought it was interesting with anyone else who might enjoy it. Hope you enjoy some tennis over the next few weeks with the good weather. And until next time, I've been Adam, and goodbye.